You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the bonds shared between people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to this episode of the Shared Security Podcast, and joining me to talk about educating the next generation in cybersecurity is the one and only Tiberius. Welcome to the show, Tiberius.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Yes, it's been a journey just to get you on the show because we're like having some technical difficulties, but we did it. So
yes, last half an hour has been a bit weird, but
yes, it has been, but we're here. So in full disclosure to our listeners, I used to work with Tiberius back in the day at Veracode, and I just want to say that you were probably the best web app pen tester that I've ever worked with. And I am so happy to see that you've continued to do great things by all the things that you're doing, contributing back to the community. So it's just amazing to being able to talk to you again, man.
Well, thank you for the compliment. Yeah, that's really kind. I'm not sure I agree, but yeah, I'll take it.
You should take it. You should take it for sure.
I think we should probably mention you didn't just work with me. You were literally my boss.
Yeah, that's true. I was your boss.
And I didn't realize I was Tiberius until literally like 2 months ago at DEF CON.
Yeah, I want to talk about that real quick because it's kind of a funny story. So you had messaged me if I was going to be at the Bishop Fox party, and I said, oh yeah, I'll be at the Bishop Fox party. It'd be great to reconnect with you. And you handed me a Tiberius sticker, and I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, you're Tiberius? And you're like, yeah, we follow each other on Twitter. I'm like, what? My mind was like blown completely. So
yeah, that was a good moment.
Yeah, because I'm following you, and I'm like, you know, this guy's always putting out awesome content. He's always tweeting like really cool things, and like, and I think it was like right before DEF CON, you were tweeting stuff about like the NCC, all the craziness going on over there, and so I was like, wow, like who is this guy? And then here you are.
You clicked the video. You just,
yeah, I know. And
clearly,
I didn't, I clicked the video.
Never watched a video.
Right. Very clearly I never did, but crazy. It's just so crazy, but it's awesome. I'm just so happy to see you're doing really well. And I love all the content that you're doing. So maybe talk about how did you get into content creation? Because I've heard, you know, your origin story. I think others have as well, but I'm really curious to know, like, how did you make that jump into doing the things that you're doing now?
Yeah, so I think it's a little odd. Like, it was, I think actually back at Veracode, I was doing the OSCP, and I was a member of a Discord server, which like was just a bunch of OSCP students studying together and teaching each other. And I think after I passed the OSCP, a lot of people just kept complaining about, oh, you know, the privilege escalation is really difficult, and like the course didn't teach it very well. So I kind of took it upon myself, well, I can probably create a couple of courses to teach it and then just sell them on Udemy. And so I did that. and then it kind of just took off from there. Like, I think I had started a YouTube channel for like a few like random videos, but after that it was one of my friends who actually runs the Discord server, Al Hazred, had started streaming, and basically streaming hacking content. So I decided to try my hand at that. Most of those streams ended up back on YouTube, so it was kind of like, you know, I would stream live, I would upload it to YouTube afterwards. It was kind of like that. Yeah, and eventually it just became, you know, a regular thing that I was doing.
That's cool. So from there, especially the streaming, right? You just decided, like, I'm just going to get a Twitch account and start doing this. How did that evolve? Because you're doing that a lot now, right?
Yeah. So, it's interesting. Like, when you start off, you basically, you know, you don't have anyone. I was lucky because I was friends with Al Hazred, he would always, you know, support my streams and everything. So I managed to sort of just almost absorb a few of his followers. So that was good. And and building up like my Twitter account to have quite a few followers. Obviously, you know, you just share people, like people from over there will see the stream as I post it and come watch for a bit. But yeah, I think the key thing is just to do something on the regular, get a schedule and try as best you can to stick to it. So that's generally what I try to do. Not too good at it, but it's good enough. It's good enough to get partner anyway, which is nice.
Yeah, I think you're right. You definitely hit it. You know, in terms of content creation, I think it's all about consistency, right? Like, yeah, if you're tweeting frequently, or if you're, you know, releasing YouTube videos or streaming, like people come to expect that you kind of have a schedule. And it's just kind of like this podcast. Like people expect that Tom's going to release a new episode on Mondays. And I always hit that Mondays the episode comes out. So I think that also probably a reason for some of your success too. Let's talk a little bit about kind of your passion for web app hacking. That's always been your specialty, right? Ever since I've known you, that's been your forte, right? How do you think hacking web apps has changed over the last several years? It just feels very different now. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it has. I think it was starting to get that way when I sort of entered the industry, which was back in 2011, I think now. We sort of gotten out of like the old kind of, you know, just PHP, ASP apps, and we've sort of morphed into a more, I don't want to say web 2.0 because we were well past web 2.0 back then, but it's a weird, it's more JavaScript heavy. So there's like a SPAR acronym, single page application, which is definitely sort of been how everything's sort of slowly moving towards over the past like 10 years or so, which is an issue because most of the vulnerabilities that are taught are still like the old style. Like a lot of people don't teach how to actually handle the new web stuff, because it's kind of complicated. But I know like OWASP are doing it a little bit with their juice shop thing, so that's quite good. But yeah, I think it's more that kind of you know, new evolution of the way web apps are designed. On top of that, all of the different technologies that have basically just either been built into browsers themselves or like the server side stuff. There's just a ton of new technologies coming out. All of them have their own vulnerabilities, because of course they do. So it's quite fun because it's ever evolving, really. Every year there's going to be something new coming out.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that as well. And also just the convergence of different technologies now. It's really hard to like OWASP has changed it from like open web, right? They've expanded their purview,
right? Don't get me started on that.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's another conversation about OWASP.
You want your organization to be secure and compliant and to have a healthy culture, but your employees' lack of awareness makes you vulnerable to data theft, fraud, and compliance penalties. It's frustrating that the boring static training content that's being used today has failed to improve employees' ability to defend against cyber attacks. At ClickArmor, we know that without using gamification, it's extremely hard to get staff to understand how to avoid threats. Our gamified simulations and challenges have provided a 50% average improvement in thousands of employees' ability to spot phishing threats. Go to clickarmor.ca/sharedsecurity to get your free gamified phishing assessment for up to 500 employees. You'll see quickly how gamified simulations can help your team be more resilient and compliant and help avoid costly ransomware and fraud incidents. Let ClickArmor help you go from being an underappreciated, stressed out fall guy to being an innovative leader who's the catalyst for greater productivity in your organization.
Maybe talk about how it's still important for pen testers these days to also, you know, while it's great to still have a focus and an interest in, say, one particular thing like web apps, but can you talk about how it's still important to understand network technology, cloud-based technologies, like other things that are emerging, or even AI, right? And how that might be able to benefit a web app pen tester.
Well, we can debate the AI thing. Yes. But yeah, I think you still need to be quite well-rounded. I tend to just, I think with web applications, you tend to be, you can kind of dive in head first and just get stuck there for a while. But yeah, certainly it's good to know about cloud stuff. Like a good example being like SSRF, right? If you get SSRF in a cloud environment, then there's so many more things you can do with it just because you have, for example, AWS metadata stuff, right? And, you know, to be honest, all the cloud instances have metadata APIs that you can just usually just send GET requests to and they'll give you stuff. So, you know, without knowing that kind of thing, yeah, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot. But yeah, I think network stuff is maybe not as important. I think obviously if you have, as long as you have a baseline understanding of how networking works, you should be fine. But like, I don't do network pen testing. I got no interest in that. So I'm fine. I know what an IP address is. That's
right. Nice. So for people that are, you know, new to the industry or just getting started and they want to become a web app pen tester, what kind of advice would you give them?
I think there's so many free resources right now. There's more so than I've ever seen any time in this industry. So obviously the big one being PortSwigger's Web Academy. And PortSwigger are pretty much the biggest name in web application security now that OWASP aren't web app stuff anymore, I guess. But they make Burp, which is, you know, to be quite honest with you, the only testing tool that a web application pen tester really absolutely needs. And they have their Web Academy, which is entirely free. You can spin up labs for free, learn stuff, try things, exploit stuff. It's a really good resource. On top of that, most bug bounties are web application stuff. So
yeah,
bug bounties, you can literally create an account on a bug bounty platform and just get into hacking things. Obviously, I don't recommend you just start that way. You should probably try and learn what you're doing first. But yeah, so, you know, go and PortSwigger, learn, maybe learn XSS or something. Go through the cross-site scripting labs, learn a bit about that, and then you can just dive straight into a bug bounty and try and find things. So that's kind of cool because, you know, back when I was starting out, if you did that, you would get arrested. but it's nice. It's nice that we've moved into an industry where at least most companies are kind of more friendly towards the concept.
Yes, yes. Nobody looks good in an orange jumpsuit, as I always say. So, yeah. And I would also say that people should check out your courses as well. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of the courses that you offer and maybe some things that you have coming up?
Yeah. So, I mean, the Privilege courses are still going well. I mean, privilege escalation, it doesn't necessarily change a lot, just a few new technologies come out. So the course, even though they're quite old now, they're still relevant. And if you're doing your OSCP, I know a lot of people recommend them. So, you know, feel free. I always do deals as well, usually on my Twitter or on the streams occasionally. So if you check out those, I'm sure you'll find some good discounts. The other course I'm currently working on and hopefully going to come out this year at some point is a web application pen testing course. So despite the fact that I've literally just ruined it by saying there's so much free content out there, now for web applications? I think my course still, you know, gives some information which is really useful if you actually want to make this a career. It doesn't just go over the vulnerabilities. It will go into a deep dive in explaining all the technologies and also strategies that you can use to enumerate web apps and actually try and discover these things, because a lot of the free resources will just, you know, tell you, oh, here's how you exploit something. They won't necessarily go too far into the detection sort of phase of things, which is obviously, you know, pretty important. So yeah, I think it's going to be a good resource for aspiring web app pen testers for sure.
So you also made a recent move over to TCM security.
Yeah, literally start tomorrow.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, congratulations, by the way. Good people over at TCM. Can you talk a little bit about what you'll be doing over there?
Yeah, so the role is basically a hybrid role. So I will be helping out with pen tests, as I often do, like usually with web application stuff. That was important to me because I feel like if you're going to start teaching web application pen testing, you kind of need to be doing it. It's one of those industries that moves so fast that you have to be constantly learning. So that was kind of a requirement that I made when negotiating the role. But most of the time I will be creating content, whether that's videos on YouTube or doing Twitch streams, also webinars and trainings. So that's, it's good because I've kind of made my hobby a career of some sort. So that's always fun to do.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Like everyone tells you, like, if you're really good and passionate about a hobby, like if you can build that into a career, like even better, right? Now you're getting paid for it. So how can our listeners find out more about you and your courses and your live streams?
The best place to go is probably tiberius.com. That has all, links to everything. My Twitter is where I mostly post things too. So yeah, I think that's probably the best place.
And for our Patreon supporters, we have a very special bonus episode where Tiberius is going to talk about two of his greatest hacks. So you don't want to miss that discussion. So if you're not a supporter yet and want to listen to this bonus episode, head over to patreon.com/sharedsecurity for details on how you can become an official supporter of the podcast. So you'll definitely want to give that a listen. Well, Tiberius, it has been an absolute pleasure. So I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. No, great. Thanks for having me. It's been a great experience.
I'm glad we were able to do this and glad that I finally found out who Tiberius is. So thanks for watching or listening to this episode. Please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts and visit us at sharedsecurity.net or on X at SharedSec. If you'd like to help support the podcast and get early access to new episodes with no ads, plus many more exclusive benefits, become an official supporter of the podcast for only $5 a month. Visit sharedsecurity.net/supporter for more details.